So here we are in our next session talking about demons, and greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And we're talking a little bit about demons and what they're like and how they operate and how we need to win by standing on the truth of God's word, by putting on the whole armor of God and using our offensive weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit. And how it's so important to walk in victory, to let the word permeate our heart, our thoughts, and our actions. And how important it is to put on the mind of Christ, to put on the mindset of Christ. In Colossians, we're told to set our affection, our heart's desire, on things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. What does that mean? It means that you develop a mindset that God is real. You develop a mindset that Jesus is real. You develop a mindset that the things of the kingdom of God are real. You develop a mindset that there's a right and a wrong way to live life, and that God knows the right way. And that when we know God's way and we turn and go a different way, that's sin in that area. It means to go astray, to miss the mark, to go astray. And so here we are, born on this earth. And we're born under the power of the adversary, taken captive of him, by him at his will, under his influence, until we get born again, or we have believing parents that cover for us until we have that chance, that opportunity to get born again. And after that, we're born by grace. By grace are we saved, not of works, lest no man, lest any man should boast. And after that moment of the new birth, you and I are God's masterpiece. He has placed within us everything we need to live the more abundant life. He's placed within us everything we need to show people that he's a good God. You know, God only has one super big vision, and that is calling all of his kids off the face of the earth to be with him for eternity in the new heaven and earth. In the new heaven and earth, wherein dwells righteousness. You know, God's seeing down the line. He's wanting all the kids to be born into his family that are supposed to be part of his family. He's trying to protect everyone who's going to choose him, because God sees the big picture, that the earth is in the process of, an allegory, so to speak, is birth pangs. You know, the earth is birthing the children of God. But God doesn't want us miserable while we're here, waiting for the end of our days. He wants us blessed. But here's this wrestling match between good and evil, between Satan and his minions, and God and Jesus Christ and an innumerable company of angels. And it's all for one thing, my friends, for the soul of man. Because Satan already knows what his end is. But every human being that's born into this world has the opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and to be born again of God's Spirit. What a loving God. What a merciful God. I just wish in churches around the world and pulpits around the world that when they talk about demons and dealing with demons and spirits and whatnot, that they would help people know right out of the chute that Jesus defeated every demon. Falling under the influence and this thumb of the adversary is because we get tricked. We get seduced in our mind. It's a seduction. But that as God's sons, we have every weapon at our disposal to walk in victory, to walk in truth, to walk in prosperity, to walk with good self-esteem as a child of the Most High God. But we do that in this life. This is our work, and it's worth it. It's effort, but it's worth it to put the reins on our mind and to notice, what am I letting my mind feed on? What am I letting my mind think about? See, we win by standing on the truth and putting on the whole armor of God. And our offensive weapon is what? Just like Jesus was. It is written. It is written. It is written. That's how he defeated, when he was physically here on earth, the adversary at every turn with "it is written." So I want to talk now a little bit about the word possess. You hear people all the time, well, that person's possessed, or this is possessed. You know, a believer can't get possessed because you're filled with Holy Spirit. And you know what? Your spirit doesn't fall under the demons category of influence. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit that was given to you, the gift that was given to you the day you were born again, is and remains 100% perfect. The Holy Spirit given to you on the day of the new birth is a spirit that you're going to carry with you throughout eternity. It's perfect. It can't be touched. It can't be messed with. Nothing. Where did I say the battlefield is, my friends? The battlefield is the mind. The mind. And what it really means when a person, you say, is that person possessed? To be more accurate, you would have to say to fall under the influence of. That's what it really means. To fall under the influence of. Where? In a person's mind. In a person's mind. And therefore, for a born-again believer who's got a Bible, who knows the Word, who has the ability to read, we are the ones who must entertain ungodly thoughts in order to give place to a demon. They get a hold in our thought life. It's a choice. God tells us repeatedly, choose life. Choose to think on the words of life. Choose to let my life-giving word flow through your mind. Because I'm telling you, this is no joke. Demons out there, man, they want to eat you for lunch and pop the bag. And that's why if we go to a verse that says, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and there's any praise, think, meditate on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. I know in my younger days I struggled in a lot of areas that really aren't much of a struggle or at all for me anymore. Why? Because I put on the truth in those areas. I went to God. I dug deep in the Word. I got myself delivered. But Satan is wily. Satan is a little sneaky snood. Those demons, they know how to wiggle their way in there. And, you know, about a year ago, I guess it was, I found out I was really having a challenge with anxiety, with like panic attacks, and breathing heavy, and my blood pressure shooting up, and you know what? That's just as ungodly as stealing. Yeah, it is. And so here I realize, wow, I'm having these anxiety attacks. And you know what the first thing I did, and it sure wasn't sit there and say, well, Peg, you've known the Word 30-something years. How could you have an anxiety attack? Uh-uh. You know what I did? I got quiet. And I said, God, you know I'm not proud of this, Lord, but I'm having anxiety attacks. And I know that anxiety attacks, that's sin. I'm going astray. And the reason I knew that is because I knew God's Word said that He will keep me in perfect peace if I stay my mind on Him, because I trust in Him. So where I was having all these panic attacks and this anxiety coming up in my life was an area that I had, for some reason, been tricked out of trusting God. That's sin, people. What did somebody say one time? They said, faith is believing that what you cannot see will happen. Fear is believing what you cannot see will happen. The difference is, which way am I looking? Am I looking at the inadequacy of my flesh, or am I setting my affection on things above, walking in faith. And I knew that because the Bible says that there's joy and peace in believing, that if there was an area that I did not have joy and peace, then I wasn't believing. I could sugarcoat it. I could try to make excuses. I could try to blame shift. I could try to point as to why I was thinking that way. But all those excuses came up lame. Because there's joy and peace in one thing, believing. And what happens, whatever kind of sin it is, however it is we're going astray, whether it's fear and anxiety or whether it's murder and mayhem, they're both not walking according to the will of God. That's why Proverbs 25:28, remember that man who doesn't have any rule over his own spirit? That man who doesn't have any rule over his own spirit? His walls are torn down. He doesn't have any defense. If we're not taking rulership over our thought life, then we're like a city that's broken down and without walls. Our self-centered actions just invite those demons to come on in and mess with us, even though they have no legal right. It really is like putting cheese out for the rats. Because these demons, they are spirits and they are beings and they have will. And their primary desire is to invade and somehow live within a person's sphere. All I know is Jesus said when they got cast out of a person that they went to dry places. So something, there's something about them being able to attach themselves to people that feeds them, that gives them their, quote, water. But ultimately, they need our cooperation to take control and to keep us under their influence. But somehow, if we start thinking these ungodly thoughts, and we think that ungodly thought long enough, then it goes from being a thought to being a reasoning or imagination, and it becomes part of our heart life. And what happens when that situation happens that those demons know trigger that train of thought? I don't know how they do it, but the best I can describe it, and I don't know if they still do it today, but back in the old days when somebody came to your house to check your telephone, which was hardwired to your house, somehow the way they would check your phone is they would have this little kind of an earpiece on their belt that had an alligator clip, a clip on the end of it, and they would clip that onto your phone line, and they could hear what was happening on your phone, they could see what was going on with your phone line, and they could basically invade your privacy. So all I know is that when we constantly allow an ungodly thought, a sinful thought, a thought that has gone astray, that is not on the Word of God, if we allow that to run over and over in our mind, that somehow those demons can clip on to the phone line in our mind, and they can literally place thoughts in our mind that we actually think are our own. And they're usually more reasonings as to why this wrong behavior is okay. Like I said, I could sit there and reason till the cows came in. Well, if somebody else had this happen to them, they'd have plenty of anxiety too. You know, a lot of it had to do with my health. You know, if somebody else did this and this day by day, they'd have anxiety. Uh-uh. You know, here's, wake up, Peg, grow up. This is not going to wash. You know, somebody else is out there saying why they're reasoning why it's okay to get drunk and come home and smack their wife and kids around. Somebody else is out there reasoning why it's okay not to tithe and give God the honor that's due him. Somebody else is out there reasoning why they don't have to witness. Well, they're already a Christian. I don't really need to speak the truth of God's word to them. Why not? Do you think that person knows how to put on the whole armor of God? How to keep the demons out of their life? How to keep themselves out from under their influence? Somebody else is out there reasoning something else that's off the word. and telling themselves why it's okay for them not to do it, not to do it God's way, not to do what the Word of God teaches us to do. Because all sin is simply going astray. It's going astray from the things of God in whatever category that might be. And people try to say, well, they're big sins and little sins. I don't agree with that. I think they're big consequences and little consequences, because obviously murdering someone has a greater consequence than stealing a paperclip from work. But the bottom line is, honey, broken fellowship is broken fellowship. And anything that separates me from God is something I don't want any part of. I really don't. Look at 1 John, please, chapter 3. You may say, well, Peg, I thought you were going to talk about demons. I didn't know you were going to get on a bandwagon about me doing things right. Well, there is a way that seems right unto a man. But nevertheless, God weighs the heart. You know, there's a way that seems right to a man, but nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. We have every right, just like Satan did, to get himself thrown out of the holy hill, out of the mountain of God. We have every right to reject God's goodness. We have every right to reject God's way. Legally, I have every right to reject anything in the Word that God tells me I should be doing for my good. I have a legal right to do that, but see, I don't have a moral right to do it. And when I reject it, it's no surprise. God says there will be consequences. There will be consequences. And the greatest way, since Satan's fall came from pride, the greatest thing that Satan is constantly accusing you of is who you are in Christ Jesus. The number one thing he's after is to destroy your belief of who you are as a son of God. And you know why I know that for sure? Because the greatest temptation ever recorded, obviously, is when Satan himself tempted Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And how did he begin every single temptation with Christ, no matter what the temptation was, whether it was survival or pride or the worship and adulation of mankind? How did he start every single temptation? You know it. If thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. And that's really, when you boil it down, that's what he stole from Adam and Eve. He totally stole their sonship. He totally stole their eternal life Holy Spirit, which was replaced with a degraded model, the spirit of man. Like I said, the word Satan means accuser. 1 John 3, chapter 8, it says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy, to let us loose from the works of the devil." And I looked up the word devil there, which is the word diablos. And the definition was traducer, traducer. And you know how much good that definition did me? Zero! I had no idea what traducer meant, so I looked it up. And it made so much sense in the context of Satan and demons. A traducer is one who wants to cause humiliation or disgrace by making false, malicious statements. A traducer is one who wants to cause humiliation or disgrace by making malicious, false statements that lead one to spectacle, to dishonor. Well, do you want any of that? No, neither do I. But this is one thing that just reemphasizes Satan's name as the great accuser. See, when we do something wrong, let me give you a clue here. When we do something wrong, Satan comes in with condemnation, but God comes in with conviction. You know, when I realized I had this problem with anxiety and with panic, I could have very easily condemned myself and said, man, you know the Word, you've been studying the Word, how could somebody like you fall into this trap? You know how we fall in the trap? Because we're people. We're not infallible. We make mistakes. We get tricked into things. But I didn't. I didn't spend time condemning myself. I got convicted in my heart of, oh my goodness, this is wrong. I'm being led astray. I know in my mind I trust God, but I'm having a hard time doing it from my heart, from the innermost part of my being. And I said, Lord, I need your help. And that's when I started seeing those things like Isaiah 26:3 about keeping me in perfect peace, not if I looked at my own accomplishments, but if I stayed my mind upon God and trusted in God. That's when I really took to heart that verse, there's joy and peace in believing. That's when I asked God to show me how to deal with this situation, and He helped me really learn how to take my mind and compartmentalize my thinking and say, wait a minute, is there anything that's life-threatening now? And my answer was no. Okay, you're okay. So why are you going to fear something that may or may not happen 2 minutes, 3 days, 4 years, a decade from now? I started learning how to gather myself together with God's help. I could not do this on my own. I was not wrestling against flesh and blood. I needed to ask the Lord to help me gain control of this area of my life because a demon had clipped on and was affecting me from the subconscious level. You know, you can usually tell if you're having problems, demonic problems, in areas where you feel something just kind of rises up within you and takes you over. It could be fear, it could be anxiety, it could be lust, it could be rage. I mean, there's so many things it could be, but basically, it's when a negative emotion starts taking you over, an ungodly feeling, emotion starts taking you over, and you feel within yourself powerless or out of control. Like I sit there and say, Peg, quit having anxiety. What's your problem? You know, God, you know that. Stop the anxiety. And you know what? It just kept on coming. And I had to go to God and have a tooth extraction, so to speak, of the heart. I had to get this out of my heart. And I went to the Word and I worked the Word and I read records of God delivering people and I read records of God being faithful and people that put their confidence in Him and people that were in unbelievably bad situations, much worse than anything I've ever been in, and continued to focus on God. And you know what? When they trusted God, God delivered them. How often? Every single time. And then when I would feel that feeling, I mean, I could literally feel it coming up my chest, into my throat. I could feel it. When I would begin to feel that feeling, that reasoning, this is why you should be upset. This is why you should get full of anxiety. This is why you should be full. When I'd feel it coming on, man, I'd take that thing to the Lord. I would take my mind to a place. I'd put the reins on my mind. I would take it to a place, and I would bring my mind to those places in the Word or even in my own past experience where I had been in a situation and God had delivered me every single time. And the next thing I knew, my heart rate was down, my breathing was deeper, the anxiety was gone. That's how I got off high blood pressure medicine, folks. You know, I could sit here and say, oh, I never have any problems. I'm the teacher. I don't have a problem. Folks, that'd be a lie. I have problems. You have problems. We all have problems. It says in 1 John, if any man says he doesn't sin, he's a liar. But boy, the great thing about sinning once you know the Word is you know how to get out of it. You know how to get back in fellowship. You know how to confess your faults so that you can be healed. Not so you can keep doing them. So you can be healed of them. And you know that if you confess your faults to God, if we confess our sin to Him where we've gone astray, and this just melts my heart, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His Word isn't even in us. So I could sit here and tell you I don't sin and I'd be a liar and the Word wouldn't be in me. But people, I'm human just like you. And you know how long I'm going to be dealing with the adversary? till this body goes to sleep in the Lord. He isn't going to lay up. He isn't going to lay off. He isn't going to let up. He's constantly accusing us to ourselves. He's constantly trying to lay a guilt trip on you so that you won't do what God says, which is simply go to the Father with a convicted heart and say, Father, I have blown it. I have done some wrong. And I'm asking your forgiveness and I'm asking your help to help me change in that area of my life. And what is that called, my friends? It's called repent. Metanoeo! The first word ever spoken by John the Baptist that's recorded, the first recorded words of Jesus, the first recorded words of Peter were all metanoeo, repent. And you know what? It's not a one-time thing. Remission of sins is a one-time thing, but repent is something we have to do over and over and over. And I think again about that example that somebody told me one time, that when the space capsule left the earth to go to the moon, you know, you would think once it got set on a trajectory, it'd just keep going and it'd hit the moon. But the people who were in the spacecraft going to the moon that had these little buttons, these little jets, psh, 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 to straighten up the spacecraft, to make it go correctly, it's called adjusting the attitude of the craft. Interesting choice of words, huh? Maybe most of us need an attitude adjustment from time to time, especially to keep my attitude in trust towards God, to have my confidence in God at white hot. They said that on the way to the moon that they had to do an attitude adjustment literally about every 10 to 15 seconds. They'd be looking at the numbers, going across the dashboard, click, 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 psh, click, 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 psh, click, 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 psh. Yep. Yep, that's pretty much it. And that's what I have to do. That's what we got to do. We've got to be vigilant. We're going to talk about that later. We've got to be vigilant. Put in that toll booth. What am I letting myself think on? And then we're going down the road thinking a thought. We know it's not a godly thought. And we don't get all wrapped around the axle, condemning ourselves. We get convicted and say, oh, Father, that is not how you want me to think. That's not how I think to receive your more abundant life. You know, help me put the word on. Help me get back on course. Instead of Satan coming in there going, see, you know better. Why'd you do that? Why'd you think that way? Because that's all they want to do is accuse us and get us out of fellowship, out of walking as a son of God. And that's why I said, you know, you can tell a person very quickly that's under a demonic influence. That's that person who's always accusing somebody else. It's never their fault. They're always blame shifting. They never want to take responsibility. See, that's a person who's condemned in their heart. A convicted person won't do that. That's a person that's condemned in their heart. That's why they're always accusing and blame shifting and don't want to take responsibility. They're not ready to change. I think it's really interesting, this obscure verse in Jude chapter 9 where it says Michael the archangel. So we know Michael's an archangel. He's one of the top dogs. When contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him. Michael did not bring against the devil a railing accusation. Don't you think if there was somebody who could have brought a railing accusation against the devil for being so stupid and blowing his position as an anointed cherub, that Michael could have done that? Yeah, he could have. But instead he said, the Lord rebuke thee. You know, the Lord can deal with you. I've got some things I could say about how stupid you were to blow it as God's covering cherub. But it's not my place to speak evil of you. The angels don't accuse. They don't even accuse the devil. He said, let the Lord rebuke you. And so that's why when I'm dealing with a person that's always got an excuse, always blame shifting, always pointing the finger, not wanting to take responsibility for their actions that have gone astray, there's no help for me fixing that person. There's no help for me helping that person. I can't fix anybody. I can't even fix me. I have to go to God to do the fixing. So I misspoke there. I can't fix anyone. I can't help anyone who doesn't want to change. It's not my responsibility. It's their responsibility. And I think it's just amazing that these names referring to demons and Satan and so on indicate putting words into people's minds. Slander, accuse, humiliate, disgrace. Man, if you're feeding on that thought diet, you better work the word hard as to who you are in Christ Jesus. Because you know what happens, people? They do this first to the one who they're trying to get under their influence. And then that person starts hurting other people. And when those people confront the offender for what they're doing wrong, they will just rail on you and accuse you of being crazy and that they would never do something like that. Oh yeah, they would, because you're experiencing it. But that's someone who's under the influence, under demonic influence. You know, people often ask me if they're under demonic influence, and we'll talk about that later, and I'll tell you what I tell them. That is, you might be. The bigger point is, do you want to get right? The bigger point is, do you want to get right with God? See, Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's our intercessor. And I always thought that was weird for God to say that, you know, he ever lives to make intercession for the saints, when I know that God loves me unconditionally. But if you've ever noticed, God is into, you know, overabundance. Even though God loves me unconditionally, he wants to remind me also, and you as well, that Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for you and I. He's constantly standing before God on our behalf, saying, see that poor sucker down there? Help him out, Father. I think that's a figure of speech almost, of God just saying how much they both love us, how both he and his son are utterly and totally, they love us. They want to do everything to keep us out of the soup. But the number one way I know to get deliverance and to get out of being under the influence, the number one way I know is to study God's word in any area that you're weak. And let God, the Spirit of God, make you whole. I'll tell you what, people, I got many demons thrown out of my life when I just began years ago taking Power for Abundant Living. They just left because of the abundance of the word that started flooding into my mind. But you know what? Most people are too lazy to do this. They're just too lazy to work the word. They think it's somebody else's job. There are certain things we can do to bear one another's burden. I can do this teaching. I can inspire you. I can try to get you fired up. But I can't make you have an intimate relationship with God. I can't make you believe the word in an area. You've got to work the word and see it for yourself. And there's also inner healing, that you can come to a trusted counselor and have them work with you and bring Jesus Christ, the great counselor, into a situation. But still, you as the counselee are the one that must put the word on in your mind. You must change the bad thinking habits that formed over the years, and you must go to God to help you keep them out until you train a new thought process. When I was a kid, nothing thrilled me more than taking my machete and chopping through the woods and making a new path down to the lake. I mean, we went where the weeds were way over our head. I mean, hacking through vines that just, you know, to this day, would I want to be in a place like that, tick and snake infested? No, thank you, shorty boy. But back then, it was a different mindset. But when we went away, or if we got there later in the summer, you know what would happen? That path would be grown over and we'd have to cut a new path. And when we've thought a certain way for a length of time, then we keep going to God and keep getting His help to think the new way, the new path, until the old path grows over and the new path becomes dominant. There are habit patterns and thought patterns in my life that I never thought I could give up. Truthfully, never thought I could change. And you know what? I have. By the grace of God and with His help, I have been able to change them. Satan's going to tell you, the great accuser, he's going to come and tell you, no, you've thought that way too long. There's no way, you know, that you can change that. You know what, folks? There is no expiration date on your potential. There is no expiration date on your potential. There is nothing that you can't reform in your mind with the help of God. Satan's going to be telling you no, and God's going to be telling you yes, and you got to decide who you're going to believe. So, as I mentioned earlier, you know, people come up to me all the time, you know, they have a problem. Do you think that's a demon? And I just say, maybe. It could be. I sure don't know by my five senses. But I'll tell you one rule of thumb that can really help you in your own life. In your own life. Any area of my life, any area of your thought life that is ruled by faith, hope, and love. Any area of your thought life that's ruled by faith, hope, and love, that means trusting God in that area. That area is protected by God and His angels. That's an area where you have a healed heart. That's an area where you have a sound mind on that particular subject. That's an area where your mind has been made whole. You know, people think, oh, well, you know, your mind is made whole all at one time. No, it's not. There are some areas that are very easy for me to believe and trust God in. There are other areas that are very challenging for me to trust God in. But you know what? There's no area that can't be healed by the love of God. There's no area that can't be made whole as I put on the Word of God and I let the Word of God gain preeminence in my life. And if need be, get myself cleaned up spiritually in that area. You know, I don't have any more problem with having a demon cast out of my life than I do getting rid of a cold. They're both parasites. You know, to me, that's no shame. Once in a while, they invade. Once in a while, they get a toehold. Okay, then I cast them out. Get out of here. You got no place in my home. You got no place in my mind. You got no place in my life. I have no problem with that. I'm not ashamed of it. It doesn't embarrass me. That's no different than saying I got to go to the dentist and have a tooth filled. But areas in my life that are ruled, and notice that word ruled, by fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, those are areas where I have no walls. They are the open door for demons to come in and attack me at their leisure. They now have a legal right because I've opened the door. Other things I can do that open that door are works of the flesh. Constant thoughts of fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, and other works of the flesh. Like I said, lying or rage or anger or stealing. So many that we could name. They're all in the Bible. Go look them up. These done habitually, open doors for demons to just come on in, to clip on the phone line of the mind, and literally to place thoughts in there that you think are your own. And that's why the only solution is with the aid of the Holy Spirit. We got to get cleaned up, and we've got to start leading every thought. Do you think God could have said in His vocabulary, just lead a few thoughts to the obedience of Christ? No. He said, every thought. God doesn't put things in the Word that He doesn't give us the ability to do. So that tells me it is possible for me to lead every thought captive to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who destroyed the destroyer. So these areas that are off the Word, that I feel like I just got to do this, I got to do it, or I can't stop this feeling, or I can't rise above this. It just kind of takes me over where I feel powerless or under its control or out of control. Those are areas I need to get healed. And the great thing is they can be healed. It says perfect love casts out fear, because you know what fear has? Fear has torment. God never wanted us to live in torment. He does not want us living in torment. He wants us living in the joy and peace of believing, not in fear and anxiety. And so, you know what? If you're not living in joy and peace, Satan wants you to get down on yourself. He wants you to beat yourself up. He wants you to criticize yourself. And God simply wants you to convict yourself. He simply wants you to say, Father, I'm having trouble trusting you. Will you help me out here? Will you give me something I need to think on? Will you guide me to a section of scripture I need to read? Will you give me, you know, inspire me with a friend to call who can talk to me and help me get back on the word? Will you show me where to get counseling? Because people, Jesus defeated every demon. They are afraid of us. He destroyed the destroyer. So every time they come into my mind, every time they come into your mind, they're squatting on holy ground. They have no right to be there. But if we don't go to the Word and find out how to stand upon the Word to keep them out, then they will break everything they can and come in under squatters' rights and take what legally no longer belongs to them. Why? Because they don't care. They will never obey God willingly, but they have to legally. So legally, if we stand on holy ground in our mind, they cannot live there. Psst! It burns them up. It casts them out. It says in Ephesians chapter 6 in the New Living Translation, to me, Ephesians is the breakfast of champions. Man, it's to me, this says exactly what God's will and desire for every believer is, which is to know you're God's masterpiece, to live every day as if you're seated in the heavenlies, to live every day as a royal heir of Jesus Christ, to live every day as one who knows the power of the resurrection within them, to live every day standing upon the victory that God has placed within us. And this most magnificent of all epistles is closed with this. Verse 10, a final word. Be strong in the Lord's mighty power. Boy, that right there would get us out of the soup 99% of the time. Be strong in the Lord's mighty power, not in my power, in His power. Be strong in the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare were in the battlefield of the mind. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies and tricks of the devil. You know what most people do every day? They walk out of their front door and go to work naked. N-E-K-K-E-D. No, naked. Down here in Georgia, just translating. They go to work naked. They don't think two thoughts about the armor of God. They're not going out there in God's power. They're going out there to greet the day in their power. And then they wonder why so many things get messed up and fall to pieces. They're not walking out the front door strong in the Lord. They're walking out the front door strong in their puny power. And you know what? In myself, I can't do too much. But in Christ, I can do all things. And baby, if you don't have on the whole armor of God, you know, the axiomatic result here is you're not able to stand firm against the strategies and tricks of the devil. He's going to get in a few licks. He's going to get in some karate punches. So God tells us to be strong in the Lord, in His mighty power, and put on all, A-L-L, of God's armor, so that we will be able to stand firm against the strategies and tricks of the devil. Verse 12, for we're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers, the authorities of the unseen world. Remember how I opened the class with every day we get overwhelmed by the five senses, what we can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch, when all the time, the greater realities of life are happening in the spirit realm. We're not fighting against people, even though these demons influence people and the people can look like my adversary. The ultimate source of that evil is not their human mind, but the demon that's influencing their human mind. For we're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world. Why do they rule this world? Because look around at the leadership in this world. How many world leaders are walking like Jesus Christ? Think I could give you pretty much a zero on that one. Most of them are full of pride, arrogance, me, my rice bowl, how can I stay in power, how can I have more power? Not Christ. Against the mighty powers of darkness who rule this world. That's why it says that we are lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or world. We are lights in the midst of a whole bunch of darkness. But boy, the darker the night, the brighter the light. And that's you and me, brothers and sisters. We stand against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world and against wicked spirits in heavenly realms. Not sitting up there in the nice mountain of God, but they are in the heavenly realms. They can fly around in the power, the prince of the power of the air. They can travel as fast as the speed of light. Verse 13, and here is some good solid advice. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth. What's the belt of truth? The truth of God's words. In how many areas of my life? In every area. Put on that sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Boy, that righteousness that we have in God, it says in the King James, that's our breastplate. That is what protects your heart from the great accuser. I had been so crazy and out of control before I became a believer. The first thing I seriously ever worked the word on was my sonship righteousness. I worked it and worked it and worked it till that was in my soul, in my subconscious, deep down in my heart, because I knew that the great temptation of Jesus was, if thou be the Son of God, and therefore that was the first thing I made up my mind I was going to put on as a believer, was my God-given righteousness. Verse 15, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. You know what shoes do? They get you from point A to point B. And you know what stops us in our tracks so many times is the opposite of peace, which is anxiety. Yeah. When you're anxious, you're not peaceful. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. See, peace is what keeps us moving forward. And that peace comes from one thing, the good news. The good news that God is with you. He's got your back. That I'm going to be strong in the Lord's mighty power, not in my puniness. Verse 16. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Boy, isn't that the truth? Man, we're going to need that faith to just nip those arrows in the bud. By faith, a lot of times, you can see the arrows coming before they even make contact with your life. And boy, that's a great way to live. And put on salvation or wholeness for your helmet. You know what that wholeness is? That wholeness is knowing your hope that Christ is coming back. And because you believe that, you know that every other thing in the Word of God is true. Yes and amen. You put on whole thoughts as your helmet. Verse 17, put on salvation, wholeness as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know what, people? That's the only way we defeat the adversary every single time, is not with my reasonings, not with my machinations of my mind, but with "it is written." And that's why it's imperative to know the Word, go to the Word, get the promise, claim the promise, speak the promise. The Word of God is our sword that pierces through the darkness of the enemy and slays him at every turn. Verse 18, pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what I try to do when I'm not doing something I really have to focus on? I have trained myself to just go on over and start speaking in tongues and worshiping God and telling Him how happy I am and how blessed I am to be His child and how thankful I am that I have a mind, that I have eyesight, that He's given me a car to use, that I have a home to live in. Anything I can find, I just start praising God, man. I just start praising God and praying for my brothers and sisters in Christ and in the Lord. Stay alert. Stay alert. Stay alert. Be vigilant. We're going to talk about that later. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. And you know what? I've taken it beyond that, beyond just Christians, and for the unbelievers, that God would bring them to the salvation of the truth, that God would take these people out there that don't even know Him, that are hurting so bad, and turn their hearts to the Lord so that they can be delivered from the power of the devil. And verse 19, I can ditto this. And pray for me too. And ask God to give me the right words as I boldly explain God's secret plan, that the good news is for the Gentiles too. It's for everyone. I'm in chains now for preaching this message as God's ambassador, but pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for Him, even as I should. People, finally, a final word. Be strong in the Lord's mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand in the evil day, and having done all, stand, stand, stand upon the word of truth. Stand by putting on the armor of light. Know that Jesus destroyed the destroyer, and God has given us every tool we need to defeat the enemy at every turn and to walk in victory and triumph through Him.